That's not to say that you can't play with your dog's ears, right? I mean, that might be a fun part to owning the dog, and then we're not taking that away from you, but how do you go about doing that?
Well, you know, one of the main things I get called on and asked about is, you know, we're having a problem with our dog jumping up. He always jumps on us. Well, what's happening is the dog is jumping up because it's soliciting affection from you. And then you put your hands on the dog and push it down. Even though you're saying no, you're putting your hands on the animal and it's reinforcing the behavior. So we have to give the dog some negative reinforcement to teach it not to jump up.
Uh-huh.
But more importantly, we have to teach the dog the positive side of what, how to get its what it wants. You know,
sure.
Dog training simply, you know, and the simplest, the forms is positive behavior gets positive reinforcement, negative behavior gets negative reinforcement.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So if my dog jumps up, I give him a negative reinforcement, say maybe bumping him with a knee.
Okay.
And he sits down and he looks up at me like, wow, what was that all about? And at that moment, if I reach down and tell him, good boy, and pet him, very
yeah,
quickly
sure.
He learns, if I just sit down politely in front of my owner, I get what I want.
I think you were just talking about that just even yesterday. This hits home. You were having the same situation with a golden retriever coming into your business. And tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, a yellow lab. And he first thing he did when he met me was try to jump up and climb up on me. And he got bumped with me. And I told him, no, off. And he kind of sat down and looked at me like, you know, with those big yellow lab eyes, and kind of looked at me. And as soon as his bottom hit the floor and he sat there stable and calm, I bent over and I loved him up and told him what a good boy he was. And he ran around my office as I talked with his owner. And he came back to me and I, you know, I could tell he wanted to jump up again, but he caught himself.
Uh-huh.
And he
uh-huh.
sat down and he looked at me. And at that very moment, I gave him praise and affection again, loved him up and rubbed his ears. And what he very quickly learned with me is I won't tolerate him jumping on me. If he wants my attention, simply sit in front of me and be polite and I'll give it to him. And I think that if you think about that consistently through how you deal with your dog every day, mm-hmm. is we need to make sure we're reinforcing behavior we want and not reinforcing behavior we don't want. You know, your dog is, the doorbell rings and you've got company coming over. Your dog is totally being spazzy and hyper and you grab his collar and you kneel down beside him. And while he's totally out of control, but you have a hold of him, you're saying, good boy, settle down, good boy, mm-hmm. and you're petting mm-hmm. him and telling him, good boy, settle down. But in your dog's mind, all he knows is when I act like this, I get reinforcement from you. I'm told I'm a sure. good boy, settle down, and petted. And what should happen is you should get a stern no, settle.
Right,
and
right.
And at that point, when he settles down and he's calm for a few minutes, at that point, we want to start saying, good boy. And that way we're not reinforcing that behavior we don't want. We're reinforcing at the moment we get the behavior we do want. That's when the praise and the petting starts. So we negative reinforcement for the unwanted, positive reinforcement for what we want.
And another thing that you mentioned when we were talking is that you don't think about it, but dogs think for the moment. They don't think for – they're not doing a long plan, long-term strategy. Maybe comment a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I hear this a lot when people call and they've rescued a dog or they've gotten a dog from one of the many wonderful rescues that are out there. And they tell me, well, I think this dog's had a pretty rough, you know, childhood, if you will, or when he was a puppy, I think he was abused and that's why he's behaving in this manner. And, you know, dogs don't lay around and obsess about bad childhoods like people do. I mean, we sit around and think, boy, my childhood was horrible. My dad was never home or whatever. Dogs don't do that. Dogs live in the now. And, you know, you can condition a dog that, for example, if a man with a beard kicked him when he was a puppy, when he sees a man with a beard later on, he's going to maybe associate that beard and this man is what kicked him before, and he's not going to want to go up and interact with that individual. But as far as him laying around all day and saying, oh, my God, men with beards are so mean to me, and it's horrible, I hope I never see another man with a beard again, they just don't do it. They live in the now and the moment.
Well, and that's probably pretty good because it tells you at least right now as you're with your dog and you have a few behavioral problems, you can start today and probably change their relationship in one way or another.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. I'll get calls. How young can I start my dog with your obedience classes? And we usually don't like to see him before 5 to 6 months. We want some
right.
maturity in the dog. You know, it's like
right.
sending a 2-year-old child to karate classes. They can go through the motions, but do they really understand what you're teaching them? And the other side of the coin is, well, we've taken on mom's dog. You know, mom had to go to a nursing home or whatever. And so we've got mom's dog and it's 8 years old. is it too old to bring to classes? And definitely not. It's basically realigning the dog with the rules. And as long as we've defined those rules and they stay consistent, mm-hmm. the dog will learn. It's never too late to teach an old dog a new trick. It's usually old owners are hard to teach new
right,
tricks.
Right, right. So it seems like there's an easy way of getting back to the instincts of a dog, but it takes a little bit of thought process, and you have to understand what those instincts are. Is there any other misnomers or, you know, kind of inappropriate opinions people have about dogs and the way they think or the way they act, or maybe just some suggestions on how pack mentality works more three-dimensionally than just simply it's about leadership?
Well, I think that you need to understand that as the dog interacts with your family, it's looking at your family as its pack. It you know, they're obviously, hopefully, the parents or the adults in the home are going to be the leadership.
Sure.
And then you have the children on, you know, like 14, 9, and 7-year-olds, and then there's the dog, and that's the way the hierarchy should be, or the ranking on that ladder should go. The dog should never be able to see itself as higher than any other member in its pack. And with that, you know, I hear people talk about, oh, our Labrador or our whatever loves to rustle around on the floor with our 4-year-old, and he gets him down, he's on top of my 4-year-old, and he's licking his face, and they're just having fun. And it is playful, and it is a good time for both the 4-year-old and the dog. But what we need to remember is, in that dog's mind, he's dominating that 4-year-old. He's on top.
Right.
And
right.
It sets forth in the dog's mind that it's mom and dad and maybe the 14-year-old, then it's me, the dog. And the 4-year-old is my subordinate. And a dog should never be allowed to see itself higher on the ladder than any human in the home.
Very good points. Very good points. What about if you have some pets other than dogs in the household? You never think about it, but those become part of the pack mentality as well, do they not?
Oh, absolutely. Even a cat.
Yeah. The thing I always try to mention to customers is that, listen, we aren't dogs, and they accept us. So we need to understand that these animals, these dogs, are accepting whatever's not them as an acceptable pack alternative. So give us a little suggestions on how we can work with our cat or our bird or our iguana, for that matter. Well, hopefully not an iguana. Maybe an iguana, but more likely a bearded dragon or something. But tell us how we can actually help that dog be a positive relationship with those characters.
Well, some you know, dogs, what I always tell people is if you've got two dogs in the home and they sometimes get a little rough with each other and it seems like one is being a little rougher on one than the other, I always tell people, let the dog sort it out. They're going to do a much better job mm-hmm. of figuring out where they fall with each other in our pack.
Sure.
Don't interject in there too much. Now, if you've got one that seems to be always wanting to brutalize the other, then as the leader of the pack, you have to step in and say, this is an acceptable behavior. And as the leader of this pack, I'm saying no more.
Uh-huh.
And you don't allow it anymore. But typically, it sounds a lot worse many times than it is. A lot of growling and barking and carrying on, but it very rarely leads to eyeballs getting pulled out and ears getting chewed off.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to some of the other species that you mentioned, we have to be careful because, remember, dogs are a predatory mm-hmm. animal, and they could see some of these other animals as prey.
Sure.
And, you know, people, the biggest one is, why does my dog always chase my cat? And my response is, because your cat runs.
Right.
And it excites the prey drive in your dog to chase the animal, the critter.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and then I used to have a cat that used to stay at our training facility, and it never failed. I mean, it was like he was on the payroll. When I would have an obedience class lined up, he would come out of wherever he was hanging out at, and he'd walk out in the middle of the class, and he'd sit right in the middle of the training floor, and he'd lick his paw and wipe his face. And I think, you know, it was like the best distraction. But he didn't run from dogs, so he didn't excite the prey.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were all very interested in him, but they didn't want to get after him.
We're talking with Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennels in Eaton Rapids. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on Mid-Michigan's Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.